So the voices we hear will have an impact on the play that we carry out. As we were singing a moment ago, and Christy sung this bridge again, "Let go, my soul, and trust in Him." How do we trust in God? How can we trust in God when things are chaotic, when things are troublesome, when things are problematic? How do we trust in God? I believe it's, first of all, in the voices that we hear, the voices that we listen to. If we carry out the instruction of some of the voices that we hear, it's going to be the wrong instruction because we've heard the wrong voice. I believe it's important that we hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is written, 66 books right here, the word of God that brings fruit, brings correction, brings life. It's light so that we can see where we're going. It's everything that we need in our spiritual walk. In John 10:27, we'll continue with a series entitled The Voice. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we've sung your word. And God, that your word just gets deep in our heart, Father, that it'll bring forth light and fruit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love that you have for each one of us, God, in the path and the progress that we're making toward you. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing up, there was a saying that I used a few times with my mom. And when I got in trouble, I would say, "Well, the devil made me do it." And I only used that a couple of times because she wasn't too impressed with that excuse. And I wound up getting in trouble anyway. And so, you know, the old cartoons, we've got the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, and they're kind of bickering, and there's one in one ear and one in the other ear, and we kind of sometimes blame the one that's speaking the evil. We go that way, and it's his fault. But really, we must take responsibility for the voices that we're hearing. How do we know the voices that we're hearing are from God and not from God? I believe it is first found and is balanced with the Word of God. God will never give us a word that contradicts the written Word of God. It'll never contradict. He'll never say, "Well, this is what I really meant. I said that, but this is what I meant." No, he meant what he said, and he said what he means. Elijah was close to God. Elijah heard God. Elijah experienced some great things in his life. And he heard the voice of God. Elijah, he gained victory over people that were worshiping, and he got to the victory, place of victory in his life, but then he became depressed. Elijah became depressed, a man of God, and he began to run away because he thought people didn't like him and people were after his life. And so he ran away. The Bible says that he ran into a cave and hid himself. Elijah ran away, and so God made his way to Elijah, and we pick up in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Then God said to Elijah," then he said, "go out and stand on the mountain." In other words, come out of your cave, come out of that hiding place, come out of that place of depression, that place of worry, that place of concern about the things that you see around you. Come out of that place, go out, the Bible says, and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. It was about 1998 as I was thinking and pondering, the Lord popped this story in my mind about 1998. Chris and I were about 13 years into our marriage, and I was raising two beautiful children. Josh was at the time, I think, about 12 years old in 98, and Jordan was about 8 years old. We started a business in 90, so we were about 8 years into this business venture. And some things had transpired, and we were faithful in the church. We were serving the church, and there was a situation that kind of built, and in this 8 years in, it had grown out to be this big thing. And so I was concerned about it. Of course, I tried to put on the face for Crystal that she wouldn't be worried. You know how us guys do. Everything's good, everything's fine, and we're a ball of nerves on the inside. Well, 1998, that's where we were, and I was praying, and I knew this thing, but I thought if I ignored this thing that was going on and brewing, it would go away. You know how we do that. If we ignore it long enough, it doesn't, it'll go away. Well, it didn't go away, and it's something that I had to deal with. And so as I was praying, and every once in a while, Crystal would ask me how this thing is going, how's this progressing, and it's fine. What's for dinner? Quickly change the subject. And so this thing had kind of come to a head, and we were at a place to where something had to break through. And I was praying, and I remember we were on our second house. We had God bless us with our first nice home in Northwood Estates, and we were there 10 years, and we were now in River Ridge and been there for a couple of years, and God was blessing us. God was doing some great things. And then we're faced with this thing. It's like, God, if things are so great, why is this problem? Why hadn't this problem faded away? Why hadn't this thing gone away? We think, well, God, if everything's great, shouldn't everything be perfect? We shouldn't have any problems, right? And sometimes we think that. Well, this thing was there, and it had to be dealt with. And I see now looking back that God had a purpose in it. And I remember praying and saying, God, I need you. I need breakthrough. And I really got to the place where I didn't know how to pray. It'd been brewing and building, and I thought I had all the words, and asking God for answers. I didn't even know what the answer was. So I found myself just sitting. And I remember God speaking to me, and He said, "I'm going to work out every detail, and I'm going to take care of you." And it was at that moment that I realized that God was in this thing, that I wasn't by myself, that I wasn't trying to push this wagon uphill one way, barefooted in 3 feet of snow. I wasn't by myself, that God was with me, and He was going to work every detail out. I didn't know how. I thought He would just make it go away. God, good, You're going to make it go away, and I don't have to deal with it after all. That didn't happen. But God gave me the strength, and He gave me the wisdom that I didn't have on my own. I didn't have the answer. But He gave those things to me. And as Crystal watched, and she was there with me, and I fed her just as little information as I possibly could get by with, where she wouldn't be worried. She was taking care of two young children. But as we walked through this thing, it was about 12 months after this, that things began to open up and to fall into place, and God gave me wisdom and how to deal with this, and God gave us favor through it. It wasn't how I expected it to be. There was still something that I had to work through, but it all began with that still small voice that I had to be quiet, not say anything, and listen to God. In that still small voice, there's something about the small things that God loves to work with. I think of David, this small young boy, this small young man. God sent David to fight this huge giant. Why didn't God use a giant to fight the giant? Now that would make more sense. No, God used this little dude, this little guy that had no experience, didn't know what he was doing, but he trusted God. He heard God's voice, that still small voice, and he went under the anointing of God, faced the giant, and took his life. God loves to use the small things in our life. And many times we just pass right by it. We expect the earthquake. We expect the fire. We expect all these big things. And God is in the big things too, I believe, sometimes. But sometimes God wants to bring us down to where we're really focused and concentrating and focused on Him and listening to His voice. Because He can say so much in a soft, still voice that we could spend a lifetime trying to seek and never find it. But that still, small voice, there's answer there. There's wisdom there. There's fruit. There's power there that I believe we need to take more time to think and to listen and to hear God's word. God's voice is speaking. He talks about the sparrow. How big is a sparrow compared to us, compared to mankind? Is a fraction of our size, but in Psalm 84:3 says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. God is concerned about the sparrow. The sparrow? How important is the sparrow? To us, we're not going to lose any sleep tonight, whether a sparrow falls or whether a sparrow lives, are we? But God makes it a point, again, in Matthew 6:26, when He says, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Think about it. The small things God cares about. And how He can bring wisdom, how He can bring encouragement, how He can bring life out of a short word that lasts less than a second to let me know that He's going to take care of it and He's going to take care of me. And somebody needs to hear this today. Two of the greatest events in history. And we're coming up on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, in 2 weeks. Two of the greatest events in history took place in the small, in the stillness. With not a big hoopla, with not a big parade, with no television cameras, with no dignitaries around. The death of Jesus Christ as He hung on the cross. The Bible says that He took His last breath. He bowed His head in John 19:30. Jesus said, it is finished. And then, bowing His head, that moment of stillness, of silence, He gave up His spirit. One of the greatest moments of history happened in the moment of silence and stillness, in the small stillness. And the second one is when 3 days later, Jesus resurrected from the dead. There again, there was no big announcement made. Now there, as we talked last Sunday, God does make big announcements and tells His people of things that are about to happen. But as He came out of that tomb, there wasn't anybody around. There was no big hoopla. There was no big fanfare. The Bible says in Mark 16:6, but He said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. They came there to look for Jesus. They came there to bring perfume and all these things to cover the body of Jesus. And they got there and the stone was already rolled away. Where was the announcement? Why weren't we told that Jesus was leaving? But He did that in the very stillness of that moment. Quietness. Stillness. Jesus got out of the grave. Got out of the tomb, rolled the stone back, and walked away. I said, well, such a great event. Shouldn't there have been some things? Shouldn't there have been a party? Shouldn't there have been a parade? Shouldn't there have been the high school band there playing something? Something big should have happened. But He did all this. The two greatest events in the history was happened in the stillness, the small, quiet time. What is God doing in the stillness today? We expect the big fanfare. We expect the big announcement. We expect something lightning and thunder. We expect these big things to happen and they're not happening. And so, God, you must not be moving. You must not be answering my prayer because all these big things, these big announcements, they're not happening. So, God, you must have left me. You must have forgot about me. You must have thought about someone else. Someone else was more important than me. That's the way it's always been. So then we get into a thing where we're feeling sorry for ourselves and what about me? Woe is me. And God has forgotten. But we forget that in the stillness and the quietness of God speaking to us, he's working. He's working. The people still didn't believe in Mark 16:11. When Jesus walked away, it says in Mark 16:11, and when they heard that Jesus was alive and had been seen by her, Mary, they did not believe. It happened and they didn't believe it. How many times do we think, well, that wasn't big enough, that wasn't loud enough, so that didn't happen? I don't believe that happened, not for a minute. I didn't believe it. I get tickled. Granny Lyle's, Crystal's grandmother, she was like a granny to me. She was 98 years old when she passed. And she said, I know that they put man walking on the moon on TV, but he did not walk on the moon. He walked somewhere else. Didn't happen. Granny always said that. Man didn't walk on the moon. And so they didn't believe. Jesus had walked away. He walked out of the tomb, and they didn't believe it. So what has God got to show us and to do so that we believe, even in the stillness of the moment, to know that he's working and he's not forgot you? I came to tell you today that he has not forgotten about you. He knows every detail, and he's working it. Not only will he work out the answer, but he'll also protect you and be with you every step of the way. I believe there are four things that God is saying to us today. Four things. Number one is, we are his children. We are his children. Do you know how far I would get if I told you that your mom and daddy was not your mom and daddy? That your biological mom and dad wasn't your... I know it's recorded on the birth certificate, but they're not your mom and daddy. How far would I get? You'd say, well, you've lost your mind. I know my mom and daddy is my mom and daddy. And so no more than we can change who our biological mom and dad is, than we can change that our Heavenly Father is our Father. Sometimes the devil will tell you, God don't love you. God doesn't have anything good for you. Yes, he does, because you are his child. And you can't change that, because he created you. He created me. The Bible says that he created us after his image, after his likeness. Who is like the Lord? We are, because he made us after his likeness and after his image. Now, we're not on the same, you understand what I'm saying. We're not little gods, but we are God's children because he made us after his image. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have a choice to serve God or not to serve God, but it does not change the truth that you are a child of God. You are a creation of God. You are a model made after God. Everyone, every living person, was made and created by God. The very breath that we breathe is from God. The blood in our veins are from God. It doesn't matter how dark your skin is or how light my skin is. It does not matter. We're family. We've got the same Father. All the division that we hear in the world today, I have no clue what they're talking about. Really, I mean, I do, but I don't. I don't understand it because we're created by the same Father. God is our Father. We are the children of God. And God knows what we face. And if God knows what we face, then he can give us the instruction to carry out in the things that we do face. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows me better than I know myself. Who are we? We are the child. We are children of God. And so many times we walk away from God because we don't know, we don't remember whose we are. So God is saying the first thing today, I believe, through his word, that we are his children. We've got to know who we are. Not in an arrogant way. I love what Miss Nancy said earlier. She said, God, may we hear your voice so much and may you pour into us so much today that we become more humbled. I love that. As we know God more and more, we become humbled more and more because we see how great and mighty and awesome God is. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about our Creator, our Father, our King. The second thing I believe God's speaking to us today is warning of things ahead. Warning of things ahead. As much as we would love to believe it, things are going to be great and smooth sailing and never another problem. As much as we would love to think that, the truth of the matter is there may be troubled times ahead. There may be troubled times ahead. And I don't say that to bring fear to you. I tell you that and remind you that to bring hope that Christ is our answer. Hope in him, the hope of glory. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But warning of things ahead is not to scare us, it's to draw us closer to him because he's our security. But he warns us of things ahead. I was telling somebody, I guess, the last couple of Sundays, Crystal and I were going out of town a few weeks ago, and we always use Waze, W-A-Z-E. Waze is an app, and it tells us where to go and the quickest path. If there's an accident on the side of the road or somebody's sitting parked on the side of the road, it says, you know, there's a car ahead and there's an accident ahead or whatever. And so as we were riding along, this thing just hit me funny. And the Waze came on and it said, police found ahead. And it said it again, police found ahead. And I got to thinking, Why is it announcing to us that police found the head? If police found the head, they need to find what person the head goes on. Police found the head. I thought it was funny. So we use ways to kind of get us around and to be our guide and to cause us to go around the warning signs. See, God wants to prevent us, even if there's danger ahead, God wants us, he will protect us as we go around that danger. Sometimes we even go in the middle of the danger. Well, what kind of God is God if he causes us to go through the danger? Just to show us how big of God he is. But God warns us to help us, guide us, navigate us to our blessing. Now, if I don't know that there's danger ahead and I take that road anyway, I turn the navigation off, well, I'm to blame because I took a road that I shouldn't have gone on and I should have gotten a little bit of guidance, right? Years ago, I had a little boat and so me and a buddy took this boat out and y'all remember Joyner Creek Marina out on 17, we put in at Joyner Creek Marina and Back then, there was no kind of navigation. There weren't even cell phones back then. And we took that boat out, and somehow we wound up in Camden County. The way we found out was because we were going into this little creek, and we rode and rode and rode and rode, and we were at some docks, and some people came out, and they were waving at us, and we pulled up. And we said, you mind telling us where we are? And they said, well, you're in Camden County. And we put in at Joyner Creek Marina here on 17. And I don't know how in the world we found our way back. It was a miracle. But Crystal had no idea. I told her we'd be back in a couple hours. Well, it was just about turning dark when we got back home. But we took a wrong turn. We didn't have a navigation. We didn't need instruction because we could figure it out. Well, how many know when you get out and the tide comes in, everything looks the same? You can't see the creeks that you just came out of 6 hours ago. You had no idea. And so we got turned around and wound up in a place, thank God we were okay. But I learned an important lesson. That is to know where you're going. But God wants to warn us. Acts 16, 6 and 7 says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia," that's a good city name, isn't it? "When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach." You say, well, what's wrong with preaching? Didn't God send them to preach? Didn't God tell them to go spread the good news of Christ? Well, the Holy Spirit forbid them to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, another city, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. See, sometimes even when it's good things for us to do, God doesn't want us to do it because there's more danger on the other side of that thing. In other words, the Holy Spirit was preventing them from preaching, telling them not to preach because there was someone there that was going to take their lives. Sometimes God will tell you not to go certain places just to save your life. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, why can't I go there? I can go there. It's fine if I go there. Well, I understand that, but if we're listening to the voice of God and He instructs us not to go there, then it's probably best that we not go there. There's a reason. There's something that God is protecting us from. And that's why it's so important that we hear God's voice. He's wanting to give us warning signs. There's warning signs. There's things that we need to be aware of. And see, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's that we trust in Him, that we lean on His understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He'll direct our paths. And that's why it's so important that we develop an ear to hear Him. Isaiah 30, 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying." Sometimes it's almost like somebody's behind you saying, "Don't go there. Don't say that." Have you ever said anything you regret saying? Had a friend one time that happened to all the time. But he's telling us, he's giving us an instruction. It's almost like it's coming from behind us saying, "Be careful. Be careful." It says, "Ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the good path. This is where you need to go." When you have the security and the confidence of knowing that you're where you're supposed to be and you're doing what you're supposed to do, it's awesome, because even when troubles come, you have the confidence of knowing, God told me to do this thing. God told me. Several years ago, you've heard me tell the story, several years ago, this thing came up, and it was just a prime opportunity for me to go into, but it was scary. It was big. And I was scared to do it. And God spoke to me clearly. He said, "Mike, I want you to do this thing." And I said, "Well, God, if you do, then you'll cause this to happen." And it wasn't a pink elephant with it wearing a tutu. It wasn't anything that dramatic, but it was something that I knew that God was telling me to do it. And so the next day, God did exactly what I asked Him to do, to prove it to me that it was Him talking. So see, God gave me the confidence. So when I did that thing, and as scary as it was, and I walked 14 months in that thing, and I was tested. I was tested. But what got me through it is because I knew that God told me to do it. So when we have that confidence, when God tells us to do something, then we know we're in the will of God to do it, then go for it. Do it. And even all the troubles that come around us, you don't back out and say, "Oh my goodness, I'm having troubles. I'm done. And so I leave and I cash out before it's time to. God said, "No, hang in here. I told you to do this, and I'm going to see this to the end, and you'll be blessed by this thing." And 14 months later, that's what He did. That was not a fun 14 months for me. And Crystal said, "Are you sure you heard from God?" She was just wanting me to be careful. And I said, "Honey, I assure you I heard from God. Do you remember what I asked God to prove to me?" And He did. The third thing God wants to do is give us direction. I've already touched on this. He wants to give us direction. He's not going to leave us out and let us hang. Okay, you go to the side of the cliff and you stand there on one foot. He's going to give us direction. He's not going to leave us and say, "You know, you stay there and I'm going to go see to somebody else and I'll be back in a couple hours to check on you." He's going to be with us. Acts 20 verse 22 says, "And see, now I, Paul," go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem. Paul, not knowing, the Bible says, the things that will happen to me there. Paul didn't know what direction to go in, except that God gave him the direction to go in. God speaks direction. And sometimes he didn't give us all three steps. He just gives us half of the first step. You know how God does? God, go ahead and show me the big picture. Show me the whole thing so that way I'll know whether it's you. He says, no, you take the first step. You take the first step first. That way I'll know you trust in me, you have faith in me, and then I'll show you the next step. So God gives us direction, but we've got to trust him in that direction to follow through on what he's telling us to do. Paul didn't know. Paul didn't know, as it says in Acts 20:22, what was ahead, but he did know the voice of God. He knew the voice of God. And number four, finally, he wants to reveal hope. Now you're here today, and you have done these things, and you're in the middle of your 14-month period, if you will. You're in the middle of your battle. You're in the middle of the direction that you think God has brought you into, and you feel hopeless. You feel that you're out to dry, that nobody's there, you're out alone, you don't know who to talk to. If you did know who to talk to, you wouldn't know what to say. You wouldn't know what to ask, because I'm hopeless. I'm just at the end of myself, and I'm hopeless. God wants to speak hope into you today. See, God is a God of hope. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how far you have gone that you feel like you're totally out of breath. Listen, I have found that when I'm out of breath, when I'm tired, that means I've been doing my job and God's job. That's what that tells me. You know what burnout is? Burnout is when I'm doing my job and God's job. God gives me the strength to do my job. And as long as I stay in the perimeter of me doing my job and let him do his job, I'm good. I'm getting good sleep. I'm getting good rest. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to tackle the things before me. But as soon as I try to do my job and God's job, God, I'll take this from here. And I get to the end of my rope real quick. I get burnt out real quick because I'm doing something that I'm not called to do. But as long as I allow God to do what he's doing and trust him in his job, he wants to give me hope that I can persevere. See, he wants to give you hope to know that you will, as you walk in his strength. The Bible says that we could do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So as long as we abide in that, as long as we stay in that and walk in that, he'll give us strength to do everything that he's called us to do. He even said that we'll do the things that he did and greater. How's that possible? Because he gives us the strength to do those things. It's not so that we can write a book, be on. It's not that we can get recognition for ourselves. It's so that we can give glory to God. There again, the closer we get to God, the more humble we'll get. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And so he gives us hope. In Jeremiah 29:11, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture that we should never forget is that God is saying to us, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So we can have our hope in Christ that he's going to work everything out. What are you facing today that you feel hopeless? There is not any situation, never and never will be, a situation that God cannot handle. We allow him to give us hope. We allow him to work out the details. We allow him to do the things that only he can do. You remember the story of Lazarus? If there was a hopeless situation, it's a man that's been dead for 3 days in a tomb. I'm being frank. I would say that's hopeless. That's just me. I would say the man stinking in the grave for 3 days, and he wasn't Jesus, somebody else. He's a friend of Jesus, and that would be hopeless. No, it wasn't hopeless. God still had hope for this dead man. You've heard me say many times, as long as there's breath in your body, there's hope. Well, you know what? That's not 100% accurate. Even when there's no breath in your body, there's still hope. That's the truth. So God still had hope. God still had a plan for Lazarus. You say, well, that was his time to go. Go ahead and put him in there, and we'll do the little funeral, and we'll go on about our business. But God had something greater to do. And he knew good and well that he was 3 days late getting there. Everybody else was mad because he was late showing up. Where were you? Did you know that he's been dead 3 days? Did you know that we've been hanging around here and we warmed the food up several times and you just didn't show up? But John 11, 43 and 44 says, now when Jesus had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. What are y'all standing there for? Loose him and he's alive. Let him go. We should never think that God is too late to come through with that miracle that we've been praying for. Never think that a situation is hopeless. Whatever you're believing for today, keep believing. Don't feel like it's a hopeless situation. It's not over until we get to heaven. In the meantime, even the dead have hope. Right? Keep our hope in God. It's never too late. I know you may be in pain this morning. I know you may be struggling and fighting with the situation and trying to get a grip on what's going on and what can I do. But just rest in God. The best place for me to come in 1998, the best place for me to come was sitting in a dark room with the lights off with nothing to say. That was the best thing I could have done. Why? Because I heard God speak. It wasn't me trying to figure it out. It wasn't me telling God how to do it. God, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, did you know that by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning I've got to do this? And God knows all that. And we need to talk to God. We need to communicate. We need to pour our heart out to God. We need to do that. He wants to hear us say it. He already knows it. He wants to hear us say it. Plus, we need to hear ourselves say it. We need to pray. We need to cry out to God. And what we're doing, we're not changing God. We're changing us to conform to God as we pray. But there does come a time where we sit still, lights off, said, God, I don't even know what to say. That's the best place I could come to. The big noises, the big display, the big flash, the lightning. Oh, man, it's like a rock concert. That's fun. That's good. Now we know something's happened. But when that doesn't happen, how do we know something's happened? You know, because you know that God is moving. You trust God that he's alive and well and he's working all things together for good. You just know that you know that God's going to work it out. When are we going to see the answer? We will see the answer in God's perfect timing. That's when we'll see the answer. As we have hope in God, there are four things that you won't see here. But God will give you revelation as you have hope in God. See, God gave me revelation. Because I knew, I didn't, it's not that I saw things panning out, but I had revelation in knowing that God was working it out. I received revelation as I had hope in God. I received power. I received power to trust in God. God, you are working. So that increases my power. That increases my faith in God. So power, he gives us revelation. He gives us power. He gives us peace. Peace. How could you be at peace when you know these things are going on? Has anybody ever said that to you? When you're going through this tough time, say, how can you be so calm? People have said that to me before. How can you be so calm? I don't know. I've got peace in knowing that it's going to be okay. Shouldn't you be worried? Well, I guess according to the world standards, I should be worried, but I've got peace. I've got peace because I know it's going to be good. Then the fourth thing, we see miracles. We see miracles right before our eyes. because we have hope in God to bring that thing to pass. Miracles. Miracles are situations that are beyond man's capability. Crystal and I, one day we'll write a book on the miracles that we've seen in our lifetime. Miracles. As we have hope in God. God, I know that you're going to work this out. I don't see it. I don't even know. God, I'm not real sure that you hear me, but I know that you're going to work it out. He gives us revelation, power, peace, and miracles. So it all comes down to this. We know what God's wanting to speak. How do we hear God's voice? There's one simple answer I want to give you. How do we hear God's voice? How can we hear God's voice? Well, I believe it's found in what God said to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:11. This is what God said to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:11. And this is what Elijah did when he heard God speak. It said, then God said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. That's all that Elijah was told to do. And it's there that God spoke to him. It's that simple. It's that simple. Elijah walked out of the cave, that place that he found secure, that dark place. He walked out. He's still on the mountain. I believe that's significance in showing that we need to get just as close to God as we can. God didn't say go out and get in the valley. He could have spoke to him in the valley. God spoke to me in the valley before, as you. But he told Elijah to go out and stand on the mountain. I believe that's a sign for us that we need to get as close to God as we can possibly get. How do we do that? Relationship with him. Talk to him like you would your best friend. He's your father. He's our creator. He's our king. He's not stuffy. You don't have to make a phone call to make an appointment with him. He's always there with you. He's always listening. Go out. That means come out of your situation. Get out of that place that's got you bound and worried. Just walk out, get on the mountain, and stand. Is that simple? And then God spoke to Elijah in that place. I believe that God wants to speak to us today. I believe that God wants to speak to you today. He wants to give you the assurance in knowing that he will take care of you. He's got you. We've got to get to the place where we come out of that. Don't be controlled by the situation. Don't be controlled by the worry. Know that God is in control, that he loves you, that you are his child, and that he's got a plan for you. Oh, come on up. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says this, those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. That to me is a sign of listening. You're just eager to listen. You're waiting on the Lord. It's not that we're in our closet scared to death, trembling. That's not waiting on the Lord. There's nothing wrong with a movie and popcorn. It's not that we're in movie and popcorn and we're waiting on the Lord. God, give me three rings on the doorbell and I'll know it's you, then I'll come to the door. See, we're waiting because we're anticipating. We're expecting. That's the waiting. Those that wait on the Lord, what's going to happen? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. That doesn't give an age bracket there. It's not those who are under 40 years old can run. The others, no. We get our strength from the Lord. Age has nothing to do with it. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's as we listen to God, as we go out and get on that mountaintop and stand. Stand. as we wait on God. God is speaking in the very small, still voice that we don't think anything is there. Yesterday morning, I did my usual Saturday thing. You know, I get up early every morning. I love getting up early. Yesterday morning happened to be kind of a chilly morning, if y'all remember. About 7 o'clock, I ate my breakfast about 6:30, and me and the boys, we got outside. 8-year-old Indiana and 3-year-old Rocky, they have to go with me, you know. They're my protector. They're my watchdogs. So they go with me. So we got out yesterday morning, I guess around 7, and we were out there for several hours. And I was out there on this chilly morning. The wind chill yesterday was in the low 40s, I think, and it was kind of gray. But as I sat there and was studying, was reading and praying, the sky started lightening up a little bit. I said, well, maybe we'll see a little sunshine after all. I had them all bundled up, and they were in the blanket, and they were all snug, and they were happy. Prayed and was studying and had some thoughts that I was making notes of and not really paying attention to what was going around, except I knew it was cold. But here I am talking about this, and then I just sat. I said, you know what? Maybe God's telling me to listen to that still small voice. Isn't that something? So I was sitting there, and started looking at the clouds, how quickly they were moving, those white clouds, those blue skies behind the white clouds. So I started taking notice of the white clouds. It looked like just big, long cotton balls, and they were moving. They shifted every few seconds. The clouds were moving. So, wow, that's beautiful. And every once in a while, I saw the sun trying to peek through in between the clouds. The wind was blowing. Big wind yesterday. Back there on that marsh, the wind was just blowing through there. So I noticed the wind was blowing and the trees just kind of swaying. There was no sound. The only thing I could hear was the wind. I could hear the wind blowing through the trees. That's all I could hear. The wind, the trees were blowing back and forth, and all of a sudden saw some birds fly through. Of course, that got the boys' attention, and they looked up and had watched the birds fly over, and they circled over and came back around. So watched the birds. I saw the tall marsh grass. It's probably 4 feet, 5 feet tall, and saw those kind of swaying with the wind. Saw this thing, everything going on. And the more I took note, the more I noticed what was going on, the more I saw, wow, I thought it was quiet out here, but God, you got some stuff going on. You're coordinating everything that I'm seeing right now. You're coordinating every bit of it, every movement, every blow of the wind, every movement of the branch, every bird that's coming down to check things out and then to fly back out. God, you're aware of everything that I'm seeing right now. Even the coolness, the chill in the air. And as I began to sit there, I could actually feel the presence of God just hovering like a blanket, like somebody were to just brought a warm blanket out of the dryer and just draped across me. I felt the presence of God came around me, and God spoke to me. He says, I am working. You mean in the stillness, with nothing going on, with you sitting out there, God spoke all that to you? As I was still, as I was sitting before God, God spoke to me very clearly, and he said, I am working. And God said that if I can coordinate everything that you see, and there's a lot that you don't see, Mike, there's a lot that's going on in the marsh grass, those fiddler crabs out there, you don't see what they're doing and how they're working right now. There's a lot that you don't see, but what you do see, if you really believe that I'm working all that out, believe me that I can work everything out in the people's lives that are in need today. I can work every detail out for them too. God knew some things were on my heart, and I was praying about some things. He said, I assure you, I'm working it all out. And see, as I prayed for you and lifted you up to God yesterday, God said that you can be assured that I am working. Those things that we see in the physical eyes, those are easy for God. And we think that the things that we don't see, God, those are impossible. There's no way that you can work those out. But God says those things are just as easy for him as all the things around us that we can see that he is doing. He's in the small things too. He's in the things that we cannot see. And I want to encourage you today, when we leave here today, to go out and stand on the mountain. And God is going to show you how great he is. Stop trying to make it happen yourself. Stop trying to make it happen yourself. There's so much God wants to do, and he doesn't need me in the middle of it. He doesn't need you in the middle of it. He just needs us to stand on the mountain and watch him work. He's speaking today. Let's stand together.